We're putting the band back together.
From the Twisted Minds, we brought you the original Fan Ball.
We had a bad pilot enough to turn goat piss in the gas line.
This is the Fan Ball Fantasy Football Podcast.
If you're dumb, surround yourself with smart people. And if you're smart, surround yourself with smart people who disagree with you.
And welcome back to another episode of the Fan Ball Fantasy Football Podcast. I'm here today with John Tooby. How you doing today?
Shoveled and gruntled.
And I'm also here with Jay Clemens. How you doing, Jay?
I'm doing just fine, thank you.
So, we had a terrible, terrible game last night. And so we're probably just not even going to talk about that.
We're going to talk about Boise State, New Mexico? Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Was that on the blue field?
That was on the blue field.
They should have Color Rush on the blue field.
I almost went there. I thought about going
No. When I worked at SI and we would do photos, like back in the Doug Martin days, like they had the audacity to go all blue uniforms on that field. And we're sitting there editing it like, come on. You know,
Did they run a play where a guy would just lay down on the field?
No. They could have easily. You know, but it was kitschy. If you're watching on TV, but if you're laying out photos, you're like, well, what is this, you know?
Well, everybody came here for our college football takes.
Yes. And our breakdown of the Bengals' sharp uniform. And the Texans weren't bad either.
It wasn't actually bad. I do like Color Rush, you know.
Sometimes.
I have a friend who's colorblind. He did not like that first one when it was Jets from a few years ago. But they've rectified the color blind. They've appeased the colorblind crowd. Say that three times fast.
Wow. No, I don't even want to try.
You either get decent uniforms and crappy football or hideous uniforms and some decent football. You can't have both.
Oh, man. Well, it's not going to get any better next week with next week's game. Right, Jay?
Rams at 49ers.
Oh, terrible.
It'll be one of those rare instances where you can go up to the stands and thank everyone for coming. You know?
Wow. And that'll take care of the first half of the first quarter. What do you do after that?
Oh, well, let's go through some of our favorite values this weekend. I think that's what this show will be about. We'll each pick a quarterback, running back, wide receiver, and tight end that we like for this weekend. And maybe it'll help you with your lineups on fanball.com. There are many contests open in the lobby right now that you can go join, set a lineup, get your Fanball number.
Including he's too humble to say it himself, but win yourself an entry into the Scott Fishbowl 8,000. Is that what we're positioning for next year?
I don't know how many it's going to be.
It's going to be big, and you're going to want to be part of it. And the best way to get in is to win your way in at Fanball.
Yeah, I think it's like two-thirds full already. That thing fills up fast, so get in there and try to win a spot in the Scott Fishbowl.
How many gallons is the fishbowl, or is it liters?
It's huge. It's got analysts from nearly every site. A lot of big name people play in that contest, so that's got to be a large fishbowl to fit all those.
Does it have the treasure chest and the little scuba diver that blows the
bubbles
out the
absolutely.
Filter? It would have to.
It's amazing. I'd never even heard of you until 2 weeks ago.
We've been doing a podcast for a couple months now, but
sorry.
Jay just heard of me. Anyway. Let's start with quarterbacks. Who you got, Jay? Who's your value play this week at quarterback?
Sorry, let me go back to my cheat sheet.
All right.
Quarterback, I've got Alex Smith. Okay, obviously, he's coming off that monster outing last week against the Patriots where he went for what? I get him and Sam Bradford's numbers that they had in week one confused. I think it was 346, four touchdowns. A lot of them were big plays, and it wasn't just that he had good numbers where he little ding-a-dong passes. The pass to Kareem Hunt, where he looked off the safety and Kareem Hunt beat the linebacker cleanly post-injury to, Dont'a Hightower. I'll point that out, but at the same time, it's probably the best throw that we had all weekend, and Bradford had many good throws,
I was going to say,
as well.
Bradford had one that I think might have been the best.
I feel good about this matchup. I have him, I believe, I should call it my rankings, but I think I have number six for the week. But here I am. I do come prepared to counterbalance my own arguments sometimes, okay? I'm getting ready to post 20 fun facts for the week.
Good, less work for me and John.
Yeah, 20 fun facts for the week. Check this out. Where's my Alex Smith thing? Okay, in his 13-year NFL career, with the 49ers and Chiefs, Alex Smith, the Alex Smith, has never once passed for 300 yards in consecutive games.
Ooh. Sounds like a
299.
He's due.
Oh, that's the principle of due. One of my favorites.
No, it's funny that you bring this up. Are you guys a big principle of due, or
no,
are you
I'm
like
not.
Me, where no. I'm like the track record is yeah. the track record?
No,
like,
I'm okay. There are times where I feel like there could be some regression, like touchdown totals or whatever. But yeah, I'm not really a big principle of due guy. I like that term though. That's crazy. Yeah.
We need to come up with some kind of branding thing where every week, in fact, maybe we can do this. Well, we'll come up with a story of the principle of due of people that, like, the numbers
they're
say no way,
but
they're due for something this week. Maybe
we'll
get maybe
the
we'll pass
from
it
the
on
Breakfast
to an,
Club to yeah, to,
we'll wait, pass it on to another minion.
No, that's the one yeah. from Ferris Bueller that ran into.
We
some
need more minions.
We do need more
we
minions.
What is Alex?
We need the sound of minions too, like from the movie.
What's Alex Smith's price this week?
Oh, geez, don't ask me questions I cannot answer. I believe he's at. Is he at?
No,
60,
I got it. $5,800.
$5,800. Yeah, thank
that's
you.
That's a good price.
That's a very good price.
That's if you want to save money off those big four. Yeah, that's at least a $200 haircut there.
Well, here's the deal. If you go with a big four this week, you will not come away dissatisfied. Like you're obviously going to pay a pretty penny. But my top four, I've got the two games for the top four. The order is
yep.
irrelevant. Breeze, Ryan. Breeze, Brady,
Brady
Ryan, Rodgers. Yep. I don't care what order you do it.
Yep, Breeze in there too.
Well,
it's
funny you would mention those guys because one of them is not in the top five priced quarterbacks at Fanball. So I'm spending
yep.
a little bit of money on my value quarterback and taking Matt Ryan out of that mix. You can get him at a $400 haircut, which is a lot more in line with what Fish has done. No, I'm more the $4,000 haircut. He's the $400 haircut.
Oh, I thought you were talking about like Fish actually gets $400 haircut.
I buy a $40 razor and I probably I bet it is the number of haircuts per year. No, I do more than 10, so I have better than that.
So you just put
it's like a $1 haircut.
You put like a shaving cream on and you just do it
yep.
like that, like
yep.
a. Like Curly Neal from
yeah,
the old
probably spend like $40 in razors a year, and that's it.
Do you get shot in the neck with a tranquilizer when you go to pick out your razor?
No, that would be hilarious, though.
Well, here's the reason why I'm shopping a little. You know, I'm avoiding the budget section. I'm going to the more reasonably high priced Matt Ryan. The over under that game. What does it move to now? Is that one 50, at 56 or is that the?
That's 54.
54.
Yep.
Yes, and it's. A good 6, 7, 8 points higher than any other team. I don't think we saw the true Green Bay defense last week against the Seahawks. I think a lot of that had to do with how bad the Seahawks offensive line is and how much Russell Wilson had to run for his life. The Atlanta line, very solid offensive line, especially at the tackles. I think they're going to keep Matt Ryan clean. He's averaging over 300 yards per game over the last season and into the first week of this year. Green Bay, heading into last week, had allowed at least 299 yards in six consecutive games,
yeah.
including, I don't know, maybe you paid attention to the NFC Championship game when the value-priced Matt Ryan, not the highest quarterback-priced quarterback on your board, went for 392 and 4. I'll settle for what I'm paying for him. I'll settle for 303. But I do have that 404 upside.
I do like that 400. I would probably take one of your two guys. But my guy this week, I went way deeper. I went with Carson Wentz.
It's, I like that one.
It's interesting. In his last six games, he's had three 300-yard games. He has six touchdowns over that span, which I realize is just one a game. But he plays KC, who are sneakily not as good as you would think against the pass. They're kind of middle of the road.
They're big play, and they get interceptions, and they have eight defensive or kick-returning touchdowns last year. So it creates a perception that they're basically the Broncos from last
right.
year, where that's not really the case. People
exactly.
have success, but at the same time, they bait you into a lot of dumb
yep.
stuff as well.
Yep. So they do get that vibe because we're fantasy players. We like those turnovers and those touchdowns, and,
yes,
and we don't realize, oh, they actually allow passing yards and receiving yards. So, and they will be without Eric Berry this week. So
that's going to be a huge, probably benefits most Zach Ertz or Aguilar. I mean, the middle of the field is, and Aguilar was working out of the slot last week. Lots of great options for Wentz. And it sounded like, I don't know if he was going to shadow, but Jeffries was going to see a lot of Peters. I think physically I like that matchup for him as well. So across the board, good receiver matchups for Carson Wentz, who, you know, does tend to be a little high with the throws. And there may be – he may throw four touchdowns, three of them to Philly and one to KC. Nothing wrong with that. That doesn't hurt you. Not a fan ball.
Not anywhere. You know, I mean, you'll take the bad with the good. I mean, I've said
that's
that every
just
time.
Just the facts
not,
of life.
Not once have I ever cared about interceptions from a fantasy point of view. Not once.
Let's move on to running backs. Jay has got a guy I love, so I'm going to talk about a different guy first. I really like the price on Ty Montgomery. I like everyone in those Atlanta, Green Bay, New Orleans, New England games. But Ty Montgomery at 6,600, which is like $2,000 off those top guys, and he could easily be the top scorer this week. He's got such a nice matchup, played 74 snaps last week. 10 more than any other running back. They want to use him as the running back. I know Jay doesn't agree with that, but this matchup, Jay, you got to agree that this is tasty.
Yeah, I should really call it my rankings, but this is the highest I think I've ever had Ty Montgomery ranked since he became like a full-time running back, that kind of thing. And I know he had a really good game in Chicago week 15 last year. So maybe I had him high for that one as well. But from my recollection, this is the most optimistic I've been about Montgomery since he made the full-time conversion to running back.
Well, weren't the Falcons, they were 31st or 32nd in the league last year allowing pass receptions to running backs and
nearly 7 per
what
game.
What does Ty do better than
well, let's
just
be honest,
about any
my
back.
Optimism for Montgomery stems from watching Tarek Cohen basically rip them apart last week.
Yep. And the reason I liked Cohen going into that game, as if you listened to the podcast last week or read my article, you would have been on it, is because of that 7 catches per game that Atlanta allows. Ty Montgomery can feast there. But, Jay, let's go to you. Who's your guy?
Okay. I'll be quick about this. Like, it's Alvin Kamara. Okay. He only had what? He had 38 total yards last week on 11 touches. Okay. So it's rather nondescript. But here's the thing that encourages me. The Saints were down. Not big, but they were prohibitively trailing for the most part of that game. And yet, Kamara had more rushes than he had receptions. Mm-hmm. Okay, everyone makes a big deal of all the snaps, but the fact that he got more rushes than receiving, if it had been a blowout situation and he got nothing like Shane Vereen, where it was no rushes and all catches, I'd be like, okay, that's going to be his role. But now I think he has a real chance to eventually supplant Mark Ingram sooner than later. I'm not worried about AP.
No.
Because what Ingram cannot do what Peterson can do, but Kamara can do what Ingram can do.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
Kamara is a good pass-catching back, despite not being played.
I'm optimistic for a few reasons. Because of the touches last week, it's Patriots-Saints this weekend, and the $3,800 price. If he was $5,200, where people were like, oh, this is going to be somebody big, we got to watch. If it was like $5,200, I wouldn't have touched it. But $3,800 gives
price.
Me a chance to have a huge lineup card of Jordy, Kareem Hunt, people like that.
Yep. And his opponent, New England, has allowed 128 receptions to running back dating back to last year, if you include the playoffs, which is 6.3 per game. And if you
wait. Can I throw that? I need one more fun fact from my 20. And I need one more. What is the
steal
fact
that.
Here? I'll give him a hat tip. You know,
in the last 20 games, so including the playoffs, they have allowed 128 receptions to running backs, which is 6.3 per
that
game.
That seems high.
That's and a lot.
In the last four games,
in the NFL?
I believe so.
You'd have to check Atlanta. Okay. Would be the team to check because they also played that many games. Yeah.
So
they would be right there.
Including the playoffs, it's 128.
See. In the last four games, including the playoffs, they've allowed 26, which is nearly 7 per game. So they're just as bad currently. Kareem Hunt had 6 catches last week.
Well, and you saw the issues, as you mentioned, with Hightower being injured, or if he's is he going to play this week?
He's going to play. I think he's okay. I think it was more precautionary than anything. And if he misses a game, I think it'll be a one and done situation.
Right.
Yeah.
But still, I mean, that's you're asking him to play hurt, and like you said, cover a very good pass catching back from, and an offense that loves to do that.
From a real world perspective,
that might be playing from behind too.
From a real world perspective, I don't think the Patriots could have asked for a tougher week 2 opponent. because say what you want about the Saints, but in-home opener,
yep.
they're going to make this a track meet because they know that's the only way they can probably win it is yep. to make it a track meet.
Well, you know I'm not a Patriots apologist, but the last three times they lost the season opener, yep. they went on to win the Super Bowl.
So. Okay, oh, well, and let me give you a good Brady stat in case no one's bringing him up.
Well, save it for your article. See, you had 20?
No, I've already mentioned this in the article. All right. he had a really shaky game. He's had some bad games in bad weather, but the last time he had a bad game of zero touchdowns in relatively clean weather was last year against Seattle. The following week, he rolled for 280 yards and four touchdowns. So he's a bounce-back guy, too.
Yep.
You know,
Patriots in general. I mean, Belichick's lost two games in a row like once in the last decade or something crazy.
It'll like be an upset but if like a game like Dolphins-Chargers has more points than Saints-Patriots.
It might
or
just happen.
Packers
every
Dolphins.
Time we expect a huge game, there's usually
well,
a
can
dog.
I bring up my one stat that I while you guys with earlier? Since we probably won't get into this, the last three games of Jaguars-Titans, the average cumulative score is 64.7 total points.
That yeah. seems high for those two
yeah.
teams. So you're saying that they should have been playing on Thursday night.
So, yeah, don't sleep on them playing. You know? You know, that's the funny thing, is that everyone was kind of making fun of Bengals-Texans. They're like, oh, two bad teams? Well, they were also 0-1. But could you imagine if Thursday Night Football would have been the teams that beat them on Sunday last week of Jacksonville versus Baltimore? That would have been even worse, and it would have been 1-0 teams.
Yep.
Okay, go ahead.
Yep.
Go ahead, Scott. I'm killing
John,
you, I know that.
John, you got a running back?
Yeah, funny you mentioned Baltimore. I'm going to save a little bit of money and go with Terrence West. And
over Buck Allen.
Over Buck Allen, okay. And I think Buck Allen's 21 carries last week was a – if you saw – first off, you know I'm a Danny Woodhead apologist.
Yep.
And if you saw the opening drive, they were doing exactly what I anticipated the Ravens were going to do all year long, which was throwing shorty. Woodhead had three catches for 33 yards. And then he went out of the game, and it was kind of like they didn't know what to do. But they found that they could run the ball. So they ran the ball 42 times. And this is a team that set the franchise record last year for fewest rushes. So they loaded up Terrence West. They loaded up Buck Allen. I think they go back to Allen being more of the Danny Woodhead guy and Terrence West being the guy that bangs it out against the Browns. And I really like the matchup. I know you look at, you sort the stats by last week and the Browns gave up just 32 rushing yards to Le'Veon Bell. And you think, oh, that defense has improved. Yeah, maybe not so much. They were 31st in the league last year. They allowed 143 rushing yards per game. I still think Terrence West at that 3,800 or 5,800 price tag is going to be the go-to guy. I wouldn't mind Allen. I mean, if you wanted to
it's
really
$2,800 less.
spend down at the running back position and cover –
you could play them both.
You
what
could
the
play
heck?
Them both. Why not?
And
it's then just and then just go across the board with Julio, Jordy, Cooks, and Michael Thomas at
yeah.
receiver. I mean, that's an interesting way to go.
Yeah, that's not a bad call. It's you do get concerned that they will monopolize each other. They're both good at catching the ball, so it's which is really weird that they didn't last week. But yeah, I could definitely see West being a good value there at 5,800. Let's move to wide receiver. John, who's your first wide receiver? Let's keep with you.
Well, all of the excitement's going to be in the focused in those two games, but I think there's some real value with Doug Baldwin at 6,900 against San Francisco. I don't think San Francisco gets after Russell Wilson like the Packers did. And even with Clay Matthews chasing Russell Wilson all over the field, he still got the ball plenty to Doug Baldwin. And Baldwin is, the term is haircut, is that right? How far of a haircut is he off the big guys? He's 6,900, so that's a nice price for him, where you're paying $9,000 for Antonio Brown and his tough matchup, but 8,700 for Julio, 8,200 for Jordy, Cooks at 7,700. Baldwin is definitely working his way into just about any lineup that I can field him in. The Niners were the fourth worst in the league against wide receivers last year. They allowed the second most touchdowns to wide receivers. I was on the – I had a short little stint on the 49ers bandwagon, at least with their offense, and they threw me off, and now they're without Reuben Foster, who is helping to make that defense better. I think Seattle gets healthy, gets on the win column, and I think a lot of it runs through Doug Baldwin.
Yeah, I could definitely see that. My wide receiver is on the same team, Paul Richardson, for 4,000. I mean, he had 7 targets last week. He's had, I believe, 28 targets in his last 5 games, including playoffs. He had 7 targets last week. And Russell Wilson has thrown for 13 touchdowns in his last 6 home games. The Seahawks are favored by 14 points going into this game. Maybe they can share touchdowns, John. Maybe we can both win on this. We'll talk to him.
Can I be the bearer of bad news here?
Oh, no. Okay, go for it.
Since you have a person who does research like this while listening to 80s music at work.
That Debbie Gibson, man. Can you get headphones, please?
Hey, there's a couple of Debbie Gibson songs. No, I'm kidding. But of his last 9 games against the 49ers, including the playoffs, Wilson has accounted for just 1 touchdown 8 different times.
Well, then maybe they won't be sharing touchdowns.
See, here's the deal.
I'm going to have to claim it then.
I've got him, 7 or 8? I got to look it up. But the point is, maybe you just see this matchup and you see the 49ers are in rebuilding mode and you just think that they've dominated them. That's not necessarily the case. Like, that's a big stat. 8 times of just 1 touchdown. Who cares if he – unless he throws for 400 – That one touchdown, you don't make a dent at all in a daily contest.
Baldwin had 8 for $1.64 against San Francisco last year.
We've covered this, though. They have no other receivers. And now that Jermaine Curtis...
Paul Richardson wasn't a thing at that point. No.
Tanner McAvoy got a target.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
All right.
Exciting target. Ooh.
Who's your wide receiver, Jay?
Chris Hogan.
Really, just play anybody in those 2 games.
Yeah. Let's see. Since you're asking me here, Hogan is going for $3,800. Same price as Kamara. He had a minimal effort in week 1, but at the same time, I'm presuming that Amendola won't play this week, and Amendola had 6 catches, 100 yards. So I think the totality of targets for Amendola and Edelman, eventually Hogan will find his role in this offense. You know, once again, I like that the Saints' pass defense is susceptible. Adam Thielen had what? 7 catches, 139 yards. Was it more than? It might have been 149, something like that. Against the Saints, so the number 2, you know, and Bro's out, and it's going to be a high scoring game. And then the price tag of the price point
157.
The price point of $3,800 is too good to pass up, especially if in a PPR situation for a lineup card. If I'm picking Brady as my quarterback, I'm absolutely stacking the deck with probably Brandon Cooks and Hogan, you know, because I want the handcuff every time.
It's actually pretty affordable. Brandon Cooks is not even your top wide receiver this week. He's at 7,700. So Cooks with Hogan is only going to cost you 11.5 for 2 wide receivers in a top matchup.
Let's try to learn from the running backs here of players going to play their old team so quickly. Like, they're not a lock to have monster numbers, you know. But at the same time, you can't deny that Brandon Cooks wants this one bad.
Yes.
Because
and Brandon Cooks is in his prime. Eddie Lacy and Adrian Peterson are basically decaying corpses on a bench.
People need to remember, for those with short memories, the Saints scored 49 points against the Rams last year. And in that game, Brandon Cooks didn't see a single target. And he played the entire game.
It happens. Yeah. You know, let's stick with you, Jay. Who's your tight end? Let's move to tight ends.
Well, this is kind of not fair because I have so many low cost guys this week that I figured I would splurge and be bad on one of them. I've got Greg Olsen as my top tight end in standard scoring leagues, and I believe he's number 3 or 2 in tight ends. I think it's just gonna be a monster week for him. Buffalo, their defense is respectable, but at the same time, I just have a feeling as Cam Newton gets healthier, he threw, what, 25 passes last week?
Yep,
I would have bet the under on that for sure. So assuming there isn't any – I sound like Stefania Bell here. Assuming there isn't any residual soreness for the week, I think he'll have another big game. He'll throw more balls and things like that. I think Carolina-Buffalo will be a sneaky good high-scoring game, and I think Olsen will be leading the charge by the end of the week. So what's his rate? His rate is 5,300.
Or 5,300.
That's really not a lot for a guy that I perceive to be number 1 or 2 at his position.
Yeah, I've been worried about Christian McCaffrey taking those over the middle targets. It happened in week 1, but Olsen's, he's got a got to turn around, and he is that safety blanket.
I'll put the one flaw into that. I just don't perceive any situation where McCaffrey is taking middle, like 8 yards downfield, middle field targets in the red zone.
We saw it. In the red zone.
Those targets are going to Olsen no matter what.
I was
going
to say, yeah, we saw that happen, but yeah, I don't recall red zone.
Okay, to be fair, no one actually watched that game last week.
I did. Did you see the play where McCaffrey was about 7 yards downfield in the middle open and Cam Newton threw it right into the helmet of a player?
I saw, was it?
Because his short yardage passes are amazing.
He was the only quarterback that was under 60% completion.
He was the only quarterback under 70%, and he was at 58.
For what?
Cam Newton passes under 5 yards last year. He was 58% completion.
Really?
No other quarterback was below 70.
Yeah, he
was terrible.
So they went and got a running back for short yardage.
He's
anti dink and dunk.
Yep. Anti dink and dunk. But all right, who's your tight end, John?
Well, I went down to the bottom where tight ends are $3,000, and then I moved up just a little bit. And there's Jared Cook.
That's a good deal. I've hated Jared Cook every year. I just never buy in, but I'm a little curious.
I don't want to tell you what to do, but why not go, like, scrape the actual bottom? Like, set the valve for Cleveland. You know they're going to be down. And he had, what, 4 for $42? I believe he's at $3,000. I mean, why wouldn't you just, if you're scraping
Cook
the bottom, why not just take
For $100 more, I get the Jets defense.
Okay. Check.
Which just let Charles Clay have their way with them.
That's Charles Clay, though. You know the difference between Clay and Cook, right?
One's spelled differently.
Yes.
Cook actually caught all five of his targets. He's not putting them on the ground like he used to. And there's no question that he's the third wheel in that offense. That you've got Crabtree, you've got Cooper. Marshawn Lynch is going to have a big game. I think after Lynch gets maybe touchdown 3 or 4, they go to the play action. Cook gets his touchdown. I think Cook has a for 3,100. I'll take his 68-yard, one touchdown afternoon with a little bit more of a ceiling over Seth DeValve's 4 for $45.
What I've never liked Cook, but what interests me about Cook is, like you said, he caught all five of his targets. I'm wondering if Derek Carr starts to see that because the Raiders have 35 drop passes over the last 17 games, which is most in the NFL, and they had 6 last week. And Cook is not dropping.
And Amari
it.
Cooper had 3 of them, maybe at least.
So I've never been a Cook fan, but if he's not dropping it, maybe Carr starts to get some confidence there.
Hey, there's something to be said for a security blanket, especially somebody in his family. He doesn't have to worry about nearly the rush that his brother did, but you know that's why I think David Carr was not a good pro because it was beaten out of him his first year with the 77 sacks. Now Derek Carr doesn't have to worry about that, but he still wants to have that guy he can dump off to. If he's going to Cooper and 3 times in the red zone and Cooper's putting it on the ground and he goes back to Cook and Cook's making plays, I think he feeds that horse again.
Yep, exactly. And I'm going to take the guy you just talked about, Charles Clay. Love myself some Charles Clay this week. And really, he's been more solid than people realize. Over the last 5 games, he's been sneakily like a top 3 tight end. He has 25 catches for over 250 yards and 5 touchdowns over the last 5 games. If you're getting 5 for 56 and a touchdown on average over the last 5 games, I mean, he's solid. I believe last week he had 4 for 53 and 1. I saw you had it written down, John, but I think that's right. 4 for 53 and 1.
That is correct.
I can confirm that sneakily is a word. Merriam-Webster.
Yes.
Has it. Okay.
Yes, sneakily
is
a word.
You used it twice. Good
yes.
job.
I like sneakily. Anyway, no, I really like Charles Clay at 4,100. I think that he's going to be a security blanket for Tyrod Taylor. He had 25% of the Bills' targets last week. That tells you something.
They only
now
have
that Watkins
two people
is gone.
To throw to, and I know Zay Jones will become something, but it's the Jordan Matthews Charles Clay show.
Yeah, for right now, keep riding Charles Clay while he's on this hot streak. 4,100 is a good price.
At some point, it's not a streak; it's just legit. And one of us, I won't say
it's
which one,
normal.
But one of us has Charles Clay as their number 5 tight end this week.
Yep. It's not me. I think
I have him in my top 10.
You have him at 9, yes.
All right.
That would narrow it down to me in case people weren't
Boom.
Doing the math.
Yeah. Ah. Let's get on out of here. That's a good amount of values for you to throw in your lineup. So for John Tuvey, at JTuvey on Twitter, for Jay Clemens, at MIN_JayClemens, and for me, Scott Fish, at ScottFish24 on Twitter, Thanks for listening. Have a great day.